Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward unto battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Our gospel reading for tonight talks about the end. Our gospel reading for tonight says that all that we see happening from the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus is just the beginning of the end. The birth pains. It's a long labor. 2,000 plus years, huh? As we continue to wait for the return of our Lord. And what is it that we do as we wait for our Lord's return? Oh, look at this beautiful building. Look at these big stones, the disciples say. Aren't they impressive? The disciples in our gospel reading for tonight have just heard Jesus speak a word of condemnation and a word of commendation. The Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders, they devour the houses of widows for a pretense. They shall receive the greater condemnation. But in the court of women with those 13 metal receptacle offering plates in the shape of a shofar, where they would put all those coins in there, in the temple, Jesus says that the widow who gave her 2 cents worth gave more than all the rest because they, out of their abundance, gave, I suppose, a tax write-off. But she, out of her poverty, has given her whole life. She's an example, an illustration of discipleship. She receives the greater commendation from Jesus. And she's also a foreshadowing of Christ's death and resurrection. The only begotten Son of God who gives his whole life for the forgiveness of our sins and for our salvation. The one who is Alpha and Omega. This is what Jesus has just spoken to his disciples. It's during Holy Week, and the end is closer than you think. Passover is only 2 days away, and Jesus will be executed on the cross for our salvation. Does that alarm you? Does that frighten you as you live in these last days, this end time, that commenced or began with the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. Jesus says, as you wait for my return, it's going to be hell. It's not going to be easy being a disciple, being a Christ follower. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be famines and floods. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be acts of terrorism. For example, Friday in Paris, France. I noticed today on Facebook all kinds of people changing their picture, you know, and having the French flag on there, and all kinds of comments being made about how we just need more love. But all of these people making comments, none of them said, what the world needs more of is Jesus. Love by itself isn't going to do anything. These terrorists, they think they're doing a loving thing to the things that they love the most, violence and evil. We live in a world, Jesus says, where all of this devastation is just the beginning of labor. 2,000 years of labor. There will be false prophets, Jesus says, who will come in my name. Don't be deceived by what they tell you. There will be people who will come saying, I am. Don't be led astray. It's going to be difficult times. Children are going to betray their parents. Parents will hand their children over. Brother will betray brother. You're going to be brought before governors, princes, presidents, governing authorities. And don't worry about what testimony you're going to give, because you've got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will do the talking for you and through you. Devastation, times of trial, the end times. Mark chapter 13 is sometimes or oftentimes referred to as a mini-apocalypse. Apocalyptic literature is a type of genre. It's a type of literature where there's all kinds of coded language and kind of bizarre and strange pictures and symbols and numbers. And so sometimes people spend their time speculating and saying, I just wish that I could decode this. But apocalyptic literature was never intended to be a forecasting of the future. It was intended to be a word of encouragement and a hope for today, for the present, for the here and now. Hence, the title of our message for tonight, Apocalypse Now. It's not just the title of a movie from 1979 depicting some of the terrible things happening in Vietnam. Apocalypse Now, a mini-apocalypse in Mark chapter 13, where Jesus speaks about the end. And remember, He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning. And He is the end. And in Him, we don't need to be worried or frightened about today or tomorrow. The past, the present, the future, for all of time is in our Lord's hands. And we are in our Lord's hands. He is our good shepherd. He lays down His life for the sheep. No one can snatch us out of His hands. We are secure. There are people that are trying on the West Coast, California, other places, to build bridges and buildings that will be earthquake proof, flood proof, tornado proof, fire proof. But there is only one security that will save us from all harm in this life and the next. Jesus proof. Jesus proof. He proves His love for us by offering Himself on the cross for our sins. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and He sits at the right hand of the Father, from whence He will come to judge the living and the dead. And His judgment for those who are in Him is not guilty, forgiven, absolved. The end has already been spoken in the present for you. This is My body given for you. This is My blood shed for you. Believe it. The end. Finished. Last word. Same as the first word. His love is eternal for you. But in the meantime, what are we to do while we wait? In our gospel lesson for tonight, the disciples disregard everything that Jesus has said about laying down your life for someone else, about living to the praise of God and for the good of your neighbor, the widow's mite. And instead, they come out of the temple and they say, "This is an impressive piece of architecture. Don't you think, Jesus? Look at these stones." And Jesus says, "You like these stones, huh? Not one stone will be left on top of another." When? When is this going to happen? Well, in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed, and the Romans left a portion of the western wall, sometimes referred to as the Wailing Wall. They left it. so that the people of Israel wouldn't forget, so they would remember. It became like a memorial to the omnipotence, the all-powerfulness of the Roman government. But as you know, the kingdoms rise and the kingdoms of this world fall and collapse, just like buildings and architectural structures. The word that Jesus offers his disciples are, don't be impressed with stones. I've been to Israel. I've seen the Western Wall. I mean, it's pretty impressive. I'm not going to deny that. If you think about what that thing looked like in Jesus' day, you're talking about at one place 400 feet tall. You're talking about these stones that were, well, the smallest ones were 2 to 3 tons. And a lot of them were like 50 tons. The largest one of those stones was 12 meters long, and it was 3 meters high, and it weighed several hundred tons. Those stones were so amazing that they didn't even have to use any kind of mortar to glue them or hold them together. And up on the Temple Mount, they leveled that bedrock. They scraped it flat. It was large enough to accommodate 250,000 people at one time. You see why the disciples were impressed? I mean, we thought that buildings like the Twin Towers would last forever. And in the first century, the disciples and the Jewish people thought there is nothing that could ever tear down the walls of this temple. Jesus says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Jesus said, this temple is supposed to be a house of prayer for God's people, and you've made it a den of thieves. A robber's den. Not one stone will remain standing upon the others. Don't put your trust in brick and mortar. Don't put your trust in architectural buildings or in people. Because in the end, everything that you see will collapse. Only God's Word, Alpha and Omega, only God's Word, Jesus, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sin. Only God's Word makes you Jesus-proof for eternity. That's the apocalypse now. It's all about Jesus. And anytime there is turmoil or devastation or calamity and we don't hear the name Jesus, we're missing out on the hope that God has given to His world in Christ. This past week on Tuesday, there was a home invasion in Indianapolis. I don't know if you heard this story, but it is heartbreaking. Let me tell you a little bit about this married couple. Amanda, 28 years old, 13 weeks pregnant, was shot in the head and killed in her own home in Indianapolis. Her husband, Davy Blackburn, is a pastor of a new church plant there in Indianapolis. 2 years ago, they moved from South Carolina, from a church where he was an associate pastor that worshiped 30,000 people every Sunday. But God called him to go to Indianapolis with his wife, who is his partner in ministry, to start a new church plant. And he went. Davy met his wife, Amanda, on a blind date when he was in college. They went to a Christian concert together. He said, I knew that she was the one that God had appointed for me and me for her when we were having a milkshake drinking contest. She lost, but she tried so hard that the milkshake was coming out of her nostrils. He said, that's when I knew that she was the one for me. Amanda, she took a purity pledge when she was a teenager, and she wouldn't even kiss one of her dates. She was saving herself entirely for her marriage day. Davy said, do you know what that means when you marry someone like that who is totally devoted to Jesus Christ? This past week on Tuesday morning, Davy went and to work out at the gym. Left the house early. When he got back at 8:30, there was his beloved 28-year-old pregnant wife dead on the floor, having been shot in the head. Who would imagine that? Who could predict that? That for this 28-year-old, that she and her husband, who have been so faithful to the Lord, going out on the limb, starting a new church plant, being obedient and faithful and pure to their Lord and Savior, who would have predicted that this act of evil would happen? I couldn't. I wouldn't want to. But this is the world we live in. This is what Jesus is talking about, this kind of evil that exists as we wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Calamity, suffering, persecution. And it's the tip of the iceberg. There's more to come as we live each day in the end time. Davy Blackburn shared these words with his congregation. He said, I'm taking time to grieve. I don't know how to go forward. I've lost my support, my ministry partner, my beloved gift from God. But I have not lost my faith in the Lord. Because even though my heart aches, I believe that Jesus Christ will bring good even out of this. We preach the word, Jesus says. The gospel must be proclaimed. That's how we live in the end time. Or in the words of Paul's letter to the church to the Hebrews, when he says, as you wait for the day to arrive, stir up each other. Stir up each other in love and good works. Stir up each other and encourage each other. And do not neglect the assembling together of believers, as is the custom of some, as you await the day of the Lord. There was a participant in our men's Bible study breakfast this past week. And he said, you know, I don't think that the end times that Jesus was talking about is just something in the future. I think we're all living in the end time. I said, exactly. Chapter 14, verse 1 says, Passover is only 2 days away. This is Holy Week for Jesus. The end is imminent. None of us knows. We may take our final breath tonight. None of us knows, as Amanda and her husband, Davy, discovered this past week, when our mortality, when our end will arrive. But as we wait, each one of us, for the end to come, we trust in Jesus. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. And we don't lose heart. In 2002, Art Berg died. His book, The Story of His Life, was published in 2003. Art Berg, when he was 20 years old, December 24th, 1983, year that I graduated from seminary. Art Berg was coming from California to Utah, and he had everything going for him. He had his own tennis court construction company, 20 years old. He was a gifted athlete. He had a fiance that he was traveling to Utah to meet so that they could make final plans and stuff for their wedding day. And on the way to Utah in the state of Nevada, he fell asleep at the wheel. and his car went off the road. He was thrown from the vehicle. His neck was broken, and he became a quadriplegic. He woke up in a Nevada hospital. And the staff at the hospital said, you're going to have to dream some new dreams, because all the plans that you've had, they're all gone. They're all shattered. Someone will have to dress you. Someone will have to feed you. Someone will have to drive you around. You better not even plan on getting married to that girl. He looked at the medical staff, and Art Berg said, this is a 20-year-old. He said, why are you so negative? Why are you such pessimist? And they said, we just don't want to give you any false hope. He said, no, what you don't want to do is, he said, you're giving me false hopelessness. You don't want to give me any false hope. What you're giving me is false hopelessness. His mother came to visit him in the hospital. She whispered in his ear, and she said, Art, difficulty takes time. And the impossible takes even longer. Difficulty takes time. The impossible takes a little longer. And that's the title of his book that came out in 2003. He kept pressing on, looking to Jesus, not calling it quits. He ended up where he became president of his own company. He ended up getting some of his motor skills back as far as his hands and his feet so that he was able to operate or drive a vehicle with some of those special controls. He got married to his fiancée, Dallas, and they had two kids. All the things that the doctors said wouldn't happen. And he kept pressing on and believing, refusing to call it quits, because he was looking to Jesus, his Lord and his Savior. The difficult things in life take time, and the impossible takes a little longer. Nothing is impossible for God, Jesus said. All things are possible for God, even the salvation of God's people. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus, going on before. The end. Apocalypse, Jesus Christ. Revelation, Jesus Christ. The first three words of that last book of the Bible. It's not about forecasting the future. It's about apocalypse now. Living the end today with your eyes on Jesus and trusting, believing with all your heart that when you get to the end in Christ, it will be an everlasting beginning for you. For you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.